You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth.
Hey! Spanning the globe to bring you the latest developments in medical cannabis, adult marijuana, industrial hemp, and spiritual ganja. We love the herb. It's time for the Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville. Now, here's your host, Russ Belville.
Good day, tokers and tokettes and non-toking lovers of liberty. It is Wednesday, January 10th, 2018, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. And hold on tight, because it's going to be a rocky show for today, because I am pissed off all over the Pacific Northwest today, both Oregon and the state of Washington. Let me work backwards on this. At the end of the show, we'll have time for a radical rant. I got this email from MJ Biz Daily today, Marijuana Business Daily, and it was fretting over the problem that's happening in Washington State, this terrible, terrible occurrence that must be corrected at all costs. People are getting ounces for $40. Oh my God, no, the price of weed is too damn low. Yeah, that's right. MJ Biz Daily is actually talking about lawmakers and industry needing to get together to come up with some creative ways to increase the price of marijuana to the consumer. So as you can imagine, I've got a few things to say about that. Also coming up on the show today, we'll have a cannabis community chat. With Nicole Wicker. She is the chief financial officer and co-founder of a company called Altopa Inc., and they are the manufacturers of the O-Blend. You may have heard me raving about this at the last MJ BizCon I went to, this device that I saw that reminded me of a Coke machine that you get, those new video Coke machines where you can get, you know, Diet Coke Zero with a splash of lime and vanilla. Well, think about that. But for cannabis, right? You can make your own vape cartridge with whatever terpenes and flavonoids and cannabinoids you want in it. So we talked at length about that a couple of days ago, and we'll play that interview for you today in the middle of the show. Before that, though, we're going to get into what in the news, where I'm going to go off at length about the story that's the lead story for today's show, and that is a report I just got. I just got information from the Oregon Liquor Control Commission, which has released its latest report on the compliance stings. This is when they send minors into a pot shop to figure out if they can buy weed from a legal pot shop. Well, I'm not too happy about those numbers either. We'll get to that starting right now with the news.
This is your Cannabis Headline News, brought to you by MarijuanaMoment.net, the complete source for all your marijuana news in one morning newsletter from Marijuana Majority founder Tom Angel. Subscribe today for free at MarijuanaMoment.net.
This is your Cannabis Headline News for Wednesday, January 10th, 2018. I'm Russ Belville. The Oregon Liquor Control Commission released data today showing that almost one in four pot shops tested sold marijuana to minors. In an email from the commission, results from minor decoy operations conducted December 20th through 29th across Oregon found that only shops in central Oregon were 100% compliant in denying minors. In the Eugene area, the rate was 84%, close to the 78% rate found in Salem. But in Southern Oregon, compliance was only 67%, and in Portland, compliance was lowest at an astonishing 43%. During the sales checks, a minor volunteer attempts to enter a shop and purchase cannabis products. The volunteers carry their own legal ID that identifies them as under 21 and does not disguise their age, and they do not lie to encourage the sale of marijuana. The Oregon driver license for a minor carries a red border around the picture with the words under 21 until, followed by the date of his or her 21st birthday. President of Paraguay, Horacio Cartes, signed a medical marijuana bill this week, which establishes a legal framework for the production and use of cannabis. The law establishes a regulation for the controlled production of the cannabis plant. Though the legislation allows for the local production of cannabis products for medical purposes, it does not authorize personal cultivation. The new regulation authorizes, quote, the promotion of medical and scientific research into the medicinal, therapeutic, and or palliative use of the cannabis plant and its derivatives for the treatment of human diseases and conditions, end quote. The regulation also establishes that a national mandatory registry of users of products derived through the Ministry of Public Health. It will oversee the patients who use these products. Iowa State University's unconstitutional crackdown on a pro-marijuana student group's t-shirts will cost taxpayers hundreds of thousands of dollars in legal costs, according to a partial settlement approved Tuesday. The state appeal board voted to pay $150,000 in damages to two leaders of the university chapter of the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, whose free speech rights were violated by campus administrators. The board also approved a $193,000 payment to two law firms that represented the group for their efforts to defend against the university's unsuccessful appeals and additional legal fees for their trial work in an amount to be decided by a judge. The costs stem from what federal judges found were the university's politically motivated, illegal attempts to ban t-shirt designs that featured the Iowa State mascot and a small cannabis leaf, and its years-long, unsuccessful defense of those efforts in court. The payouts will come from Iowa State's general budget. Most Americans oppose federal action against state legal marijuana operations, according to a new HuffPost YouGov poll conducted after the release of recent Justice Department rescission of the Cole memo. A majority of the public, 56%, say they'd oppose federal efforts to stop the sale and use of marijuana in states where it's been legalized, with 44% expressing strong opposition. Just 30% of Americans would support such an action, while another 14% said they were not sure. The poll also shows that the public is more likely to believe the issue should be left up to the states. A total of 47% of Americans believe laws governing the use of marijuana should be determined at the state level, while just 32% said they should be determined at the federal level. Another 22% said they were unsure. New Frontier data forecasts that cannabis has the potential to create cumulatively $131.8 billion in federal tax revenue and 1.1 million new jobs by 2025. The new report examines three aspects of what full legalization would look like in contrast to the current state-by-state patchwork of legalized environments and the anticipated impacts which full nationwide legalization would hold for the U.S. Treasury. These three aspects include federal business taxes, federal payroll withholdings, and revenue generated from a federal cannabis sales tax of 15%. This has been your Cannabis Headline News for Wednesday, January 10th, 2018. I'm Russ Belville.
You're listening to the Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville. The Marijuana Agenda is a listener-supported independent podcast brought to you by Radical Russ Media, LLC. Subscribe to our VIP feed at MJAgenda.com for access to our ad-free podcast segment archive. Make a one-time donation to support the Marijuana Agenda at paypal.me/RadicalRuss. The Marijuana Agenda. Kevin Sabet's Boogeyman since 2012.
You have offended my family, and you have offended Shaolin Temple.
Yes, might have gotten away with it too, if it wasn't for these blasted kids and their dogs.
Looking for the 420 friendliest way to visit beautiful legal potland, Oregon?
I'm Lori Duckworth, inviting you to come stay with us at Delta 9 House and Studios.
You get your own private room with queen bed and access to our high-speed Wi-Fi, premium entertainment system, and more.
We'll even cook you breakfast. Look us up on Facebook at Delta 9 House.
That's facebook.com/Delta9House.
Delta 9 House is booked through Airbnb.com, City of Portland, permit number 17-159855.
People say no to drugs.
It's really, really easy.
Adding more gasoline to the fire.
Lackadaisical.
Really tough, really big, really great.
To infect and rot our nation.
Dangerous gateway drugs.
We don't need to be legalizing marijuana.
To build and grow a stronger, healthier, and drug-free society.
Today in What in the News, we take an in-depth look at the release of results from minor sting operations that were conducted December 20th through 29th, all throughout the state of Oregon here, where undercovers paired with minor volunteers, people under the age of 21, who went with their own legal ID to a pot shop, and we tested to see whether or not the pot shop would let them in, first of all, and second of all, whether they'd sell them any product. And it turned out almost one in four Oregon pot retailers either let the person in or sold them marijuana. Almost one in four. Now, I was going to take some time and look up what the liquor compliance rates were. I think they're better than that, but I didn't get a chance to verify that before airtime. And I am not happy about this at all. First of all, this industry, as it exists today, only exists because of the dedicated hard work of numerous people who put their lives and reputations and fortunes on the line to try to help legalize this substance. And I have no grandiose ideas about what percentage I contributed to that, but I was one of them too. People like Anthony Johnson, who were out there, Mason Tvert, Allison Holcomb, who did the lion's share of legalization, and of course the donors who gave so much money, people like Rick Steves and so forth. And all of us, as we pushed for marijuana legalization, we had a very common mantra that we'd often repeat. Drug dealers don't check IDs. Wouldn't you rather have marijuana sales are going to exist no matter what you do? There's going to be marijuana sales. Wouldn't you rather have them put inside in adults only stores that check ID? So a whole lot of us put our reputations on the line, our credibility on the line, by saying drug dealers don't check ID, by making a problem of prohibition being that it's not going to prevent kids from getting weed. Let's put it in pot shops where kids can't get at the weed. And bam, one out of four of you pot shop owners failed. Failed in this simple task. It's not as if you have to do any complex math with an Oregon driver's license. Well, see, 2017 minus 1999. You don't have to do any of that crap. An Oregon driver's license, if you are under the age of 21, on your picture, it's got a big red border around your head. Big red border, and the words that say under 21 until, and then list the date when you turn 21. And it's not just one bud tender who may have blown this for everybody at the particular shop. Every shop I've gone to in the state of Oregon has required me to show my ID at the door before they'll even buzz me in to where I can look at cannabis products. And then a second worker has to look at my ID a second time when I make the purchase. So if any minor was able to buy pot at any of these Oregon pot shops, they got past two people if they bought it and got past one if they just got in. It's kind of unclear from the OLCC's write-up of this as to which one of these shops failed for actually selling some product versus which of them failed for just letting a minor get into the store. It's kind of a nitpicking, I guess, because as far as I'm concerned, the minor getting into the store is a fail right there. Now, kudos to the shops in the Bend, Oregon area. They tested five areas of Oregon where there are pot shops. And in the Bend, Oregon area, there were no pot shops that failed. None of these pot shops failed. So I want to give a special shout out to High Grade Organics in Bend, Jenny's Dispensary in Bend, and in Madras, Oregon, Diamond Tree, Plante, and Central Organics. Thank you very much for living up to our promises, for protecting the public as we promised them we would. But now we're going to take a look at some of these others. Let's start with the best performing group, folks in the Eugene Springfield area. This would be, you know, University of Oregon territory, right? They visited 19 shops. Three of those shops would allowed sales to minors or allowed minors in. Those shops, and believe me, I got a long memory, folks, and I can carry a grudge. those shops that should be avoided in Eugene, those shops that are doing a disservice to the activism we're all trying to complete here throughout the rest of the states. And don't think that other states that are looking to legalize, that their prohibitionists don't point at this data and say, oh, see what happened in Oregon. So for those shops in Springfield, High Cascade on Main Street, now, Buds LLC, Buds LLC, we don't want to go there, in Eugene, Oregon. Also in Eugene, Oregon, Sweet Leaf Cannabis on the boycott list for selling to minors. And that was 84%. So the best performing, you know, Bend, the Bend area gets an A. A plus, they got 100%. Eugene, Springfield area, you get a B for your 84%. The next best performance was in the Salem-Keizer area. Now, Salem-Keizer, that's the state capital. It's just south, about an hour south of Portland, about an hour north of Eugene. They visited 23 premises, and of those 23, 18 of them did not sell to minors or let minors in. But there were five of them that did. And one of these names, High Cascade, didn't we just say that name on the last page back there for Eugene and Springfield? Yes, we did. High Cascade in Salem failed. The Grass Hut 2 in Keizer failed. Seven Leaf Collective in Salem failed. Herbal Remedies 2 in Salem failed. Reed Leaf Cannabis Center in Salem failed. So please, let's not give any of our activist consumer business to these outlets that are doing a disservice to the cause of legalization. So we got Bend got an A, Eugene Springfield got a B, Salem Keizer gets a C plus there at 78%. Now let's take a look at Ashland, Gold Hill, Medford, Phoenix, Rogue River area. Visited 12 premises, four of them failed. That's a 67% compliance rate. That means there's a 1 in 3 chance there that if you're a teenager, you can get your hands on some legal weed there in the southern Oregon area. This is way southern Oregon. The groups, the four places that failed. Hijinks Cannabis Company on Pacific Highway in Medford failed. Cannabis Experience on Riverside in Medford failed. Rogue River Herbal in Rogue River, Oregon, failed. And Rogue River Cannabis in Rogue River, Oregon, failed. So, Southern Oregon, you got a 67, you get a D. So Bend gets an A, Eugene gets a B, Salem gets a C, Medford gets a D, and who got the big fat F? Well, basically, the Green Mile, right here in Portland, Oregon, where I used to live right smack dab on Sandy Boulevard. I know every one of these pot shops on this list in here have visited at least four of them. Not anymore. They visited seven premises on the Green Mile, that little stretch of Sandy Boulevard in Northeast Portland, Oregon. Out of the seven places, only three checked IDs properly. Four of them, kids were able to get in. That's a compliance rate of 43%, or as we like to call it, a big, fat F. So, our approval goes out to Nectar on Sandy, True Cannabis on Sandy, and Panacea on Sandy for upholding the law and getting perfect compliance. But if you're shopping on Sandy Boulevard for some weed here in Portland, here are the places you do not want to visit because they don't know how to see a red border. La Mota at 44th and Sandy. Roseway Organics at 74th and Sandy. Americana RX at 86th and Sandy. And Dean's Greens at 105th and Sandy. You all failed. And this is particularly galling because the Americana on Sandy has this big video billboard that's literally 8 blocks away from where I live, and they claim that the little fine print on the bottom is perfectly readable to anybody that might be driving by. But they can't read the under 21 until and the big red border on a teenager's driver's license? This is going to be the death of us, folks. This is going to be restrictions. This is going to be problems. Get compliant.
Look, I inhaled.
All right, that sound means that it's 20 after the hour, as required by our union contract. We got to take a safety briefing. Also, because today my blood pressure is way too high. Kind of like the price of weed that MJ Biz Daily wants to keep high. We'll talk about that in the Radical Rant. But next, the anti-drug public service announcement and the CFO of the company behind the O-Blend.
If you work in the cannabis industry, consume marijuana, or just support freedom, you need to know about breaking policy news that affects you. Marijuana Moment is the daily newsletter that helps you stay on top of all the latest and most important state, federal, and international cannabis developments. Brought to you by longtime legalization activist Tom Angel, Marijuana Moment puts a concise yet comprehensive overview of cannabis news in your inbox early every weekday morning. Wake up to Marijuana Moment and rest assured you'll be ready for the cannabis news that's driving the day. Subscribe now at marijuanamoment.net.
You're not high. You're listening to the Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville.
It's not recreational. It can be destructive, and it consistently is destructive.
Okay, maybe you're a little high. The Marijuana Agenda free podcast is available on iTunes, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, TuneIn, Google Play, SoundCloud, and on our Facebook page at MJ Agenda. Free video archives are available at the Radical Russ channel on YouTube. Help keep this media free by making a donation at paypal.me/radicalruss. Now, in the interest of fair and balanced journalism, the Marijuana Agenda presents this anti-drug public service announcement.
The calendar hypnosis into thumbtack cushion, completely tailwind. And sewing elephants plant before cartoon paper cups. So numbers renovate.
If your teenager is trying drugs, would you know the right words to use?
Afterward, lightly fish scale. Doorbell.
Find out what to say from the partnership and our community partners.
This has been an actual anti-drug public service announcement. To combat this and other drug war hysteria, listen to the Marijuana Agenda every weekday at 3 p.m. Pacific at live.mjagenda.com or download the free podcast at mjagenda.com.
New beginner guitars and banjos are often constructed much better than ones built before your time. Why struggle? Get a new instrument or fix the old one. The trusted professionals at the Fingerboard Extension will evaluate your instrument for free. Repairs are priced for people who work for a living. Stop by the Fingerboard Extension downtown Corvallis at 120 Northwest 2nd Street today or check out its inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com.
You're listening to the Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville.
Buddy, it's Russ Belville from the Marijuana Agenda, inviting you to be like me and get your ink done at Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo, Fort Worth's most female-friendly, clean, sterile, awesome tattoo shop. Thomas and his crew are true artists who can design you a custom piece or use a design you bring in. Lucky Horseshoe also offers all styles of tattooing as well as piercings and all-around fun. In the DFW area, stop by Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo and tell them Radical Russ sent you. Trust me, it'll feel awesome.
The cannabis community is a diverse set of people from all walks of life. Conservative and liberal, black and white, straight and gay, rich and poor, and everyone in between. Learn more about the people we are freeing from adult cannabis prohibition in our Cannabis Community Chat.
Hey,
Welcome, everyone, to another edition of the Cannabis Community Chat. I'm Russ Belville, and you know, I travel all across the country reporting from expos and covering different events in the cannabis community. And every time I go, I seem to find something that just blows my mind with its ingenuity and entrepreneurial spirit. And today, to join us and talk a little bit about an amazing product called O-Blend, we have the CFO and co-founder of Altopa Inc. It's Nicole Wicker joining us by telephone. Nicole, welcome to the show.
Hi. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, so glad to have you here. Tell us about Altopa Inc. How did you get involved in founding this new company?
That is a great question. So Matt Wilson is the CEO and co-founder of the company as well. Matt had a brilliant idea that was basically generated from trying to treat his dog, Numi, with cannabis because Numi had seizures. And he was having a difficult time mixing ingredients. And he said, gee, if there was some device that could precisely mix and dispense cannabis, that would be great for his dog, Numi. And at the same time, his daughter kept wanting to go into a pizza shop. It was like the worst pizza shop on the island that he lives on, Beshan Island. But the reason she wanted to go is it had one of those soda machines where you could make your own soda.
Uh-huh.
So his brain started working, and he came up with this idea. And then he came to me with the idea, and I thought about it, and I thought, God, that sounds really, really interesting. But I don't know a whole heck of a lot about the cannabis industry. So I started going to the healthcare cannabis conferences, and I would listen to the researchers present on all the different medicinal benefits that each one of the ingredients have, like CBD, CBN, CBG. And I also listen to patients talk about the problems that they would have with finding a consistent product that worked. So all the stars were aligning, and I'm from the healthcare industry, and I'm excited about bringing the O-Blend to consumers to help them with their different medical conditions. So I'm really excited.
Yeah, and you know, I'm fascinated by the origin story because you mentioned that fancy soda machine. I've seen them at the theaters where you pick Diet Coke and then it says, well, do you want grape? You want vanilla? You want this other stuff? And you can little touch screen and program your exact Coke mix. And this is what the O-Blend is. I often say it's kind of like a Keurig for cannabis. You got all these different ingredients you can add, terpenes and cannabinoids and flavors, and then a touch screen apparatus where you can program the exact ratio, the exact mix, and the exact ingredients that you want. And even better, you don't have to mix up a whole vaporizer cartridge. You can do a small little tester and find out if that's going to work for you. I think this is a revolutionary product, and I'd like to know more about where you're at now with it. How soon can we get our hands on one of these things?
So we are currently in the process of a pre-sale campaign. We have a lot of interest. So if you're interested in purchasing one of the O-Blend devices, then you would go to our website, www.oblend.com, and sign up to get in line for pre-sale. We will be shipping units in June of 2018 all over the nation. And we're going to start commercializing as far as state to state in Oregon.
Oh, excellent.
So that's it's really right where I'm at.
Yeah, I'll be glad to help out any way I can. I really believe in this product. And the interesting thing to me, too, is the versatility of it. And you mentioned, as you were talking about this, how you come from a healthcare background. And I've dealt with a lot of medical marijuana patients here in the state of Oregon who are looking for the right strain, the right mixture, the right particular type of medicine that's going to help for their various conditions. Can you tell our listeners about how O-Blend, you know, collects this information from actual patients to help them make their decisions and make their own recipes?
Yeah, sure. So it is, the O-Blend is controlled by a smartphone app. And if you are a person that is having problems with going to sleep at night or focusing, or if you have anxiety, then you can use the O-Blend app and search for those items. And all sorts of recipes that are crowdsourced will pop up, and you can choose to try one of those recipes. You'll see all the feedback, and they'll be rated. And you can look at each one of the ingredients in that recipe. You can read about them, and you can adjust each one of them. So basically, you are customizing your own blend. And if you like it, then you save it. You can share it with your college buddies. You can share it with your friends, and you can share it with the O-Blend community.
That's
what I think is really interesting about this is the fact that you can adjust the ingredients. So I'm hoping that for those consumers that have heard that cannabis is effective in helping with things like pain or sleep, but they're scared to try cannabis, well, this is the perfect device to use because they can find a recipe, and if it has THC, but they're nervous about it, they can adjust the THC all the way down to zero. And right. Over time, if they feel comfortable, they can increase it and essentially microdose. So they're never getting stoned if they don't want to, but they're getting the ultimate medicinal benefit.
Yeah, that is
that's what I'm excited about.
I am excited about that too. Not just that it's, you know, you can dial the THC down to zero. You can dial all the cannabinoids down to zero. This is a product that can be used for essential oils too, right?
Oh, absolutely. So we're not limited to just cannabinoids and terpenes. We can use all sorts of other healthy ingredients, such as turmeric or fish oil or euthanasia. So let's say you have a product that you like, but you have a lot of inflammation, well, then you can add additional turmeric and curcumin to your blend to really focus in on treating your inflammation. You don't need cannabis.
Right.
You can use this device to create all sorts of healthy products from healthy herbal extracts and essential oils. So yeah. Basically, it is a home dispensary.
Exactly. It can be used for aromatherapy, for example.
Yes.
So, like the Keurig model, you make the machine, but you don't make the coffee, right? You've got other vendors and distributors that are making the little capsules that go, or not capsules, but cartridges that go into your machine?
Well, we supply the cartridge, but they supply all of the ingredients for the cartridge.
I see. So it's more like an inkjet printer from HP, where you got to get a HP cartridge, right?
Yes. And we just make sure that all of the ingredients go through our quality control system so that the consumers know that their products are safe.
This is, I do believe, a game-changing sort of product. It's the O-Blend machine, O-B-L-E-N-D. They've got a pre-sale going on. You can learn more about it through their website. Give them the website information again, Nicole.
Sure. It's www.oblend, O-B-L-E-N-D, www.altamirawana.com.
That's fantastic. Nicole Walker is the CFO and co-founder of Altopa Inc. They're putting the O blend out on the market. Should be hitting the streets around, what'd you say, June or July of this year?
Yes, that's right.
All right. Get your pre-sale order in now. And
this episode was produced as part of the Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville, the daily news and interview podcast covering the world of medical cannabis, adult marijuana, industrial hemp, and spiritual ganja. MJAgenda.com.
The Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville is brought to you by Cannabis Kamikaze, a professional licensed producer from Canada producing 3 pounds per light. Follow Cannabis Kamikaze on Twitter at Cannabis Kamikaze. That's at Cannabis, K-A-M-I-K-A-Z, Cannabis Kamikaze.
The Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville.
This whole country needs to not be so lackadaisical about drugs. They say much of the addiction starts with marijuana.
Whatever you're smoking, it's not marijuana.
Federal prosecutors have been ordered to pursue the toughest possible sentences for criminal suspects. U.S. Attorney General Jeff Sessions issued a memo May 10th rolling back Obama-era reforms that eased sentencing for some nonviolent drug offenders. Anthony Papa is the manager of media and artist relations for the Drug Policy Alliance. Papa says Sessions' reinstatement of harsher sentencing policies will destroy families because the breadwinners will be locked up for extensive periods of time.
Not only is he going to put people with drug problems away that should be treated medically, not punitively, he's going to affect many family members of those that are being incarcerated.
The National Association of Assistant United States Attorneys says the policy will, quote, restore the tools that Congress intended to punish drug suspects. For United News International, I'm Neelit Uni.
Health Cannabinoid, your ACMPR experts. Consultation services for medical cannabis. Visit healthcannabinoid.com or call 1-800-906-1383. That's www.healthcannabinoid.com or call 1-800-906-1383. Health Cannabinoid.
Total war against public enemy public number one.
10 federal criminal penalties for up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
Marijuana is probably the most dangerous drug.
Legalization is just another word for surrender.
I experimented with marijuana and didn't inhale.
This is not medicine. This is a Cheech and Chong show.
Encourage people to use less drugs.
I am ill. That was the point.
I think it would be a mistake to legalize.
Negative reports coming out of Colorado.
Good people don't smoke marijuana.
Well, my day began today with an email I received from the Marijuana Business Daily, MJ Biz Daily. And the email was basically a tease for a story they'd written. It had a nice, beautiful graphic of a Pacific Northwest mountain landscape. And the headline, Washington State Cannabis Oversupply Spurs Calls for Change. And then the lead paragraph, the cannabis supply in Washington state continues to swell, flooding the market and causing both wholesale and retail prices to sink. With an ounce of legal marijuana flower selling for as low as $40 in the state's retail stores, both shop owners and producers are seeking changes to Washington's cannabis regulations, and lawmakers and industry leaders are discussing ways to correct the market. Ha ha ha! Okay, so, this is where I run into some difficulty, because on the one hand, I do this show and I want to have advertisers and I want to be able to, as they say, monetize my content. On the other hand, I have this temper and it's gotten me canned from a couple of jobs. And the temper stems from me not being able to accept bullshit. And this is some bullshit.
I got into this to legalize marijuana, not based on who was going to get rich on it, but based on one primary thing. Nobody has the right to tell another human being what to do with their body. Period. And we can take that deeper. No one has the right to tell me what plants to plant, what crops to sow for my own personal and my own family's use. We are a country that is descended from an agrarian culture where our forefathers homesteaded. Again, speaking from a white male perspective, I understand. But the idea being, those entitled white men who founded this country were a part of a culture that believed in farming, that had to farm, that believed in individual rights, and came up with a lot of amendments to protect those. And the whole flavor of our Declaration of Independence and our Bill of Rights, to me, is what it means to be an American, which is there is some point at which the government may not intrude. As the late Justice Scalia would say, and I'm no fan of his, but he used to say the curtilage. We have the curtilage of our property is protected, not just the door, but our land, our property, our space, and certainly our bodies and our minds. So I'm not into this about who's going to get rich, how rich are they going to get. I'm into this to keep people out of cages, to keep cops out of homes from shooting dogs and CPS workers from taking away kids. So when I read something like this, where there's shock and dismay from the business community, the now emerging and burgeoning cannabis business community, that, oh my God, weed's selling for as low as $40. It gives me pause. Because at some point, we're going to have to distinguish what is the movement and what is the industry. And understand that on some levels, we will just never see eye to eye. Now, they're doing their job. MJ Biz Daily, Marijuana Business Daily. We're here to build the business, build the industry, represent the interests of entrepreneurs and business folks. And of course, it's going to have a conservative bent. And of course, it's going to have a look at how we can maximize profits and all that. I'm not so naive or idealistic as to think capitalism doesn't exist or that cannabis is going to solve it. But I do have a problem with the mindset that says, oh my God, $40 is way too low. Well, what do you mean it's way too low? I still think $40 is too fucking high. And so do, and this will be the second reason why I'm in this, and one that I didn't get into it for, and a lot of my critics will certainly concur, is medical marijuana patients. And I know I've got my issues there too. But at the core, there are people who are seriously sick and disabled, for whom massive quantities of cannabis makes their life livable. I don't think it's the majority of medical marijuana patients. I think a lot of people have taken advantage of the laws and wink, wink, nudge, nudge way too much. But also, in my over dozen years of doing this, I've met legit patients, people who need lots and lots of weed. And now I'm involved in a world where I know more people who are in that world more deeply, and I get more perception of what's going on, a bigger picture of what's going on. Doesn't mean I still agree with a lot of what's going on in medical marijuana sometimes, but one thing is for damn sure, and I think both I and medical proponents would agree to this, is if weed costs $40 an ounce, that's a good thing for patients, isn't it? I'm looking to get weed down to $4 an ounce. I'm looking to get weed so overproduced and oversupplied that it's freaking ubiquitous, that it becomes a staple. It's like rice or sugar or pinto beans. Now, of course, the other side of that, the MJ Biz Daily side of that, would be like, not a lot of people getting rich on pinto beans. Not a whole lot of burgeoning rice market out there, is there? And that's where we come to this fundamental difference between us, the business side and the activism side, is that we can't let the dollar dictate what is right or wrong. And on the other side, the dollar is what's right or wrong. We're in it for money, we're in it for business. Nothing personal, it's just business. So Lawmakers and industry leaders are discussing ways to correct the market, which means people with money who are invested in this system that keeps the price of weed. What's the Washington average price now? $8 a gram? $7 a gram? Somewhere in there. Keeps the weed at seven-ish dollars a gram. And yes, there's variation for top shelf, and then there's outdoor, and $40 ounces is probably some outdoor swag. Whatever. There's variations. Overall, the entire prices are going down. And so, as these prices are going down in Washington State, that's nothing but good for the consumer. That's great for us. But who's the voice for us? Who's going to be fighting for those to be lower? Because understand that when industry goes in there fighting for regulations to keep the price high, they're not going before a neutral arbiter of this issue. Government's got skin in this game too. Washington State's got a 37% tax rate on cannabis products. 37%. And we've heard numbers over and over of the hundreds of millions of dollars they got coming in. Yeah, 37% tax rate on a $7 gram is great. If it gets down to a 37% tax rate on a $4 ounce, though, that's the state losing money. And I warned about this in numerous episodes of my show when they were first discussing legalization strategies in a couple states like Oregon. We came up with $50 an ounce. Right, I think that was what our original was, $50 an ounce. So people complained, oh, it was unworkable. And nobody, I think nobody but me made this point. And that is, when you tax marijuana by the price, you incentivize the government to want to keep the price high by artificial means if necessary. Fees, taxes, security requirements, purchase limits, possession limits, canopy limits, plant limits, anything they can do to keep it from, you know, growing like a weed. So when you tax it by the price, they want to keep the price high. Tax it by the weight, though, and they want to move more product. This is what I kept saying throughout different campaigns and different shows. It's like, you know, I feel about the tax by weight like I feel about Kevin Durant. I was in the minority here in Portland saying, draft Kevin Durant, not Greg Oden. He'll never last two or three seasons. He's another Bill Walton. He's fragile. He'll fall apart. He might be a great player, but won't last long. I was right. I feel the same way about this. I was in the minority with the tax by weight principle, and I feel like I'm being vindicated here. So this story, too, and for me, it was like to read the shock in this headline about ounces getting down to $40 is a problem we need to correct the market for. I thought, you know, what if we weren't talking about $40 ounces of cannabis and we weren't talking about pot shops and pot growers? What if we were talking about 40 cents a gallon for gasoline and we were talking about gas stations and oil companies? Think there'd be so much shock? You think there'd be a lot of push? Oh my God, we got to do everything we can. People are filling up their tanks for $6 now. We got to do everything we can to get that price of gas back up. Can you imagine states arguing? Well, you know, we've got a state gas tax, but we're losing so much money because the price of gas is so low. And I know there's people in the know about this that are saying, you know, Russ, this actually does happen. They do control the flow and there's OPEC. And I know it's more complex an issue than I'm giving it credit for. But still, the idea being we want cheaper weed, not lesser quality. We just want it cheaper. And it's just frustrating to me because the people who are complaining about the $40 ounce are acting as if the $300 ounce was the proper level. Like that's where the price of weed should be. Should be $300. No, the price of weed only got up to $300 because of punitive law enforcement actions that were disproportionately directed toward poor African-American Latino communities have decimated entire generations. The $300 ounce has the prohibition price subsidy with it. That should be something we're willing to dispel. We want to get rid of. We should be fleeing from that as much as we can. Now, I'm not against people making a living. Sure, you got to make up the cost of your seed-to-sale software and your security system and paying your bud tenders and the insurance and you don't get your tax deductions from the IRS and yada, 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 yada. Sure, okay. But people going into this thinking that everybody who ever grew weed before and made a living is going to continue to grow weed and make a living are as silly as people who made aluminum jewelry in 1857. tell you the aluminum story another time. The other thing about this is that what we want from legalization is a civil rights issue. And there's no profit loss margin on civil rights issues. You don't, well, we could let the black people sit here at the lunch counters because it would make us a whole lot more money. No, you don't. It's because it's right. It doesn't matter if it makes money or loses you money. You do it because it's right. And that's what we're doing with legalization is we're ending the arrests and the imprisonment. And yeah, it's flawed. And yeah, it's slow. And really, the thing that blows me away about it is that they're worried that people are looping. They're saying right now in Washington State, these $40 ounces are cheaper than what you can get on the black market. Which is like, okay, weren't you the people who are arguing that we need to undercut the black market? And my head starts to hurt. But also, this idea that this is a bad thing. I know, coal memo, which doesn't exist anymore, but we want to stop diversion. But you can't stop diversion. Absolute prohibition didn't stop diversion. Actual checkpoints with federal troops and drug-sniffing dogs and barbed wire and prisons and everything we threw at it didn't stop out-of-state diversion. Why do people think we're going to pass a law, have some regulations, put some zip ties and on barcodes on some plants and then scan them, is going to stop diversion? Even if it did stop it from within the production process, a guy can go in and buy an ounce at a store, then go to another store and buy an ounce, then go to another store and buy an ounce, then go to another store and buy an ounce and divert it. It's going to happen. And when you got a situation like Spokane, Washington, right across the border from Moscow, Idaho, which is the home of the University of Idaho Vandals, you don't think a bunch of 21-year-old or even younger, apparently you can get weed at these places now, but that you don't think a bunch of college-age guys are going to cross the border and loop, as they say. This is when they go to one store multiple times and buy ounces, especially if they can get a $40 ounce, aren't going to loop that, get a whole bunch of ounces, take it right across the border, a little 13-mile drive, sell them there on the college campus. Of course it's going to happen. My question to them is, why is that a bad thing? It's not like the college kids weren't going to get the weed anyway, right? They were going to get their hands on weed. They always have, and they always will. It's a given they'll get their hands on weed. But in this case, they got their hands on weed that was tested and inspected, and it's a better, you know, knowledge of what its genetics are than just, you know, getting a bag from the guy. And they're getting it cheaper. You don't think they're taking it back to the college and sell it for $300 an ounce, do you? When they know their buddies can cross the border and just get the $40 ounce themselves? No. So the wholesale price crash that might happen in Washington and Oregon, and now California, oh my, is going to lead to a massive price crash throughout the entire U.S. weed market, licit and illicit. I'm going to live long enough to, even in like a place like Oklahoma, be able to get off the street a $50 ounce again. I'm going to be able to go back to the prices that the old heads I knew when I was coming up used to talk about. Man, we used to get a four-finger lid for $10, man. That's what I'm going to get to live that. Everything old is new again. It's great. But of course, I've got the point of view that the key to the whole, to anything anyone thinks is a problem with marijuana, all of it, the key to the whole thing, even our worst opponents, the Kevin Sabets, the Patrick Kennedys of the world, to all of them, the solution to what you think is a problem with marijuana is to let it grow like a weed. Just let it go. Marijuana is like a wet bar of soap in the shower. You can't grab it too hard. It's just going to spit right out, right? Next thing you know, you're bending over in the shower and only bad things can happen. So just let it go. Every bad thing you think, the potency is so high. You know why? Because you tried to ban it. You tried to ban it. You made it scarce. You forced people to take it indoors and become, you know, Dr. Science with it and tinker with it to make it more potent. Happens with every drug you try to ban. Oh, well, the kids can get their hands on it. If it were everywhere, would it be as big a deal for kids to get their hands on it? I can't imagine it being worse than what it is now or was in the 70s. Just let it go. Let it go. We want more marijuana. So let me just wrap this up because it blows my mind. And no, it's a good story as far as journalism goes from MJ Biz Daily, right? But it's just missing that consumer angle. And that's the problem I see moving forward. And even when I say consumer, I'm talking even non-activist marijuana consumers, just a guy who likes to toke. They're going to try to keep this price high. The government wants it high to get the percentage for their sales tax. The companies want that high so that high markup can lead to better salaries and perks. The growers want to keep that high so that their wholesale prices, I mean, the story talked to one Washington grower who was upset he couldn't get as much as a dollar a gram wholesale. And that seemed like $454 a pound, something like that. 454 grams in a pound. One thing you can say about weed is it helped Americans learn the metric system. All right, that's all the time we got for today. Thanks for joining us, and keep your heads up. We are winning. It's just a weird fight to win sometimes. For everyone here at Delta 9 House and Studios, I'm Radical Russ Belleville. Thanks for joining us. Keep listening to the Marijuana Agenda every day, 3 p.m. Pacific time. Throw us some money somehow if you can. And take care of each other, tokers.
Follow MJ Agenda on Facebook, Pinterest, Instagram, YouTube, and follow MJ Agenda Show on Twitter. Learn more at MJAgenda.com.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down.